Good morning. It's Thursday, 10th of December. Our middle reading for today is Nahum 1 and 2. I'm going to read to you two passages from Brother Fred Pierce's book, The Minor Prophets. The first passage is headed, The Vengeance of the Lord. There is, in the robust language of Nahum, a problem for some modern minds, who find unpalatable his blunt statement of the indignation of the Lord, the fierceness of his anger, and his vengeance on his adversaries, and are quick to charge the Old Testament prophets with barbarity. There is one important principle to be kept clearly in mind here. The ultimate standard of God's judgments upon men is not human feelings. It is the expression of God's own character. He is merciful and gracious to those who heed his word, but his holiness must, in the end, require the destruction of the obdurate and unrepentant sinner. No doubt the smaller nations of the Middle East rejoiced in a vengeful spirit at the destruction of their great oppressor. But Nahum, who declares that God is good and slow to anger, knows also that he is great in power and will by no means clear the guilty. The New Testament message is the same. Jesus will say to some, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Paul describes the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And the revelation makes plain not only the wrath of God, but also the wrath of the Lamb. As for us, we must act in all mercy and compassion towards those we meet, and seek to bring before them God's grace in the Lord Jesus. But we do no real service to them if we conceal from them the holiness and righteousness of God, so perverting their understanding of his name, or fail to make clear that God will reveal his judgments upon sin. The pressure of the spirit of our age is great upon us in this matter. Let us see that it is countered by the spirit of the word of God. And now to Brother Pierce's concluding reflections. Compared with most of the other prophecies, Nahum's work is of limited scope, but a knowledge of the tremendous part played in the affairs of the Middle Eastern nations for more than two centuries by the Empire of Assyria, and of the sheer misery and suffering which it inflicted upon its subject peoples, should enable us to imagine the immense sense of relief and joy that the news of its fall would produce. To a prophet of one of the smallest of those nations, Nahum of Israel, was granted the rare privilege of announcing that fall in advance in the name of Yahweh, whom the Assyrian had despised. To the ignorant heathen, the fall of Nineveh was just one of those political adjustments which are the result of natural causes. Assyria was vanquished because her enemies were now too strong for her. But to the faithful in Israel it was the work of God, for had he not told it in advance through the mouth of a true prophet, as he had promised his people he would do through Moses? The affairs of Judah were desperate. The knowledge of God was little found in the land. But evidently the Lord had not abandoned his people, and the heathen would not triumph for ever. The time of peace would come, when Judah would keep the law of God once more and pay her vows. As we look back over the centuries, we can see the judgment of corrupt Nineveh as the type of God's final controversy with the nations, when their power will be subdued and his name shall be glorified in all the earth. So came the judgment of God only a few years later upon rebellious Judah by means of the Babylonians. So it came less than a century later upon proud Babylon itself, and six centuries after that upon the city of the Israel that rejected the Lord. So it will come again upon all powers that resist the coming King. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you.